on the party line, the Monticello party line. With Sarah and Maggie and Laurie and Paul, and Basil and Curly, Louisa and all. Each morning at your radio, all your good friends are saying hello. From Texas to Maine, our great friendship chain. We're friends on the party line. Oh, come with something on the party line.
Oh, spring, it is a wonderful season. We're not having it all the year around. Please give me one good reason.
Spring? My land's claim, it's only the 4th of February.
After February, March. After March, April. After April, May. It'll be spring before we know it, and I'm itching to get out and dig a whopping big garden for you, my dear.
I hope, Clem, that your noble ambitions will outlast the snow and still be around by the time I ask you to dig me a garden.
My dear, have no fear. I'll still be here, as eager and anxious for rake and hoe as I am this February day.
Goodness, Clem, it's a shame you wasn't a preacher or a teacher or something.
Huh? Oh, speaking of teachers, today's the opening day of the spring semester over at the high school.
My, why, so it is.
Yeah, yeah.
That means this is Christy's first day at work being an English teacher.
Yep, God darn it. Going to school ain't as bad as it might be at that.
What'd you say, Clem?
Why, nothing, my dear. I was just saying, education is a fine thing. I wish I had more of it myself.
Sometimes it sure seems you're just about of an age with the rest of the high school boys and girls, Clem.
Ah, would that I were, my dear. Would that I were.
Not me. I'm just as glad I don't have to bother my head about a lot of things I could just leave do without.
Agatha, that ain't the proper outlook you got.
If you take a outlook out this window, you'd know there was snow to be shoveled off the walks.
Maybe that's one reason I ain't taking a outlook out the window.
Clem, wonder how it happens you're so full of energy for digging a garden sometime way off in the future or for going to school, and you got so little ambition for shoveling off your own sidewalks.
Well, my dear, for one thing, I don't notice there's any snow shoveling teacher waiting out there to call a snow shoveling class to order.
Oh.
That might have something to do with it.
So that's it. Well, really interested that you bothered to tell me, Clem.
Agatha, the fact that I mention it proves that I don't mean it. But I'll bet you one thing. There's somebody else over at the high school.
The pupils in Christy's English class ain't the only ones that'll be looking for her today.
Clem is probably more correct than he knows. When David Hunter took Christy Warren on a date to the movies last week, very much against his own will, and only because he had promised Carlton that he would ask her as a penalty for losing a horseshoe pitching contest, he discovered to his surprise that Christy is a very likable person. For her part, Christy is rather... we'll hear more about that in a moment. Right now, since this is Monday, I'd like to ask you what kind of a Monday this is for you. Do you feel bright and right with the world, or do you feel kind of dull and depressed today? Well, now, don't go around feeling sorry for yourself, but do something so that tomorrow can be a happy Tuesday for you. Cheer up. For you, there is a remarkable medicine, made according to the original formula of a family doctor, that can help you to remove accumulated wastes and leave you refreshed and invigorated. The medicine I mean, of course, is Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin combined with laxative senna compound. A mild, gentle, yet thoroughly effective help that lets you get well. You see, Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin is a liquid. You yourself measure the amount you take and reduce that amount as nature herself gets back to work. That's the way you build regularity. In this convenient liquid form, syrup pepsin is right for the whole family. It's simple to give babies the small amount they need and to increase the amount for the adults in the family. So you see, Dr. Caldwell's remarkable medicine is not only remarkable for the results it brings, but it's remarkably economical because it's the only laxative you need in the house. Ask your druggist for syrup pepsin. It's spelled S-Y-R-U-P, syrup, P-E-P-S-I-N, pepsin. Syrup pepsin. It's afternoon in Monticello. Lori Parker is not at the switchboard in the telephone office. She's taken the afternoon off, and now she is with her mother, and they're drinking milk and eating bread and butter and jam at the kitchen table.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Mother. I met Christy Warren this morning on my way down to the square.
Oh, did you? This is her first day at school.
Mm-hmm, it is. And I thought she might be nervous, but she was as happy as a lark. And guess what?
Well, I don't know which direction to guess.
You know, I told you that David called up and asked her for a date last week, right after they'd had a big argument about that office of his.
Yes, I know. Wasn't that the most peculiar thing for him to do?
Well, you know how he happened to do it.
Well, yes, because he'd lost a horseshoe game to Carlton Ross. But I still think it's odd that he would call Christy and ask her for a date, just on that account.
I know it. Well, you know, Christy was at the office when David's call came through, so I suppose I could have told her right then and there why he called. I mean, I could have told her what I knew about the real reason for his asking her to go out with him.
I thought you said you didn't tell her.
Well, I didn't, but I don't know. I'm too late to tell her, and I feel pretty badly about it. It makes me feel terrible. Christy thinks it was so sweet of David to call her up and take her out. She says it was such a gentlemanly thing to do.
Why does she think that so gentlemanly? Oh, because they quarreled before.
Yes. You know, they hardly spoke two civil words to each other. Each one was sure the other one was a crabby old crank before they met. And after they met, it wasn't much better because they got into a terrible argument right from the start. Well, that's why Christy thinks it was so nice of David to decide he ought to apologize.
Well, it was, after all.
Oh, Mother, don't you see? David didn't call her up because he was sorry and because he wanted to be a gentleman and apologize. He only called up and asked her for a date because that was his penalty for losing the horseshoe game. Isn't that miserable?
Is it? I don't think so, dear. After all, if she likes him, what's the difference?
Well, there's all the difference in the world. Suppose Christy decides she's fond of David now.
Oh, dear me. I'd be jumping to conclusions. After all, they've only been out with one another
once. Yes, and maybe David will never ask her out again. You know how he is. All girls are poisoned him since he broke his engagement and Phoebe ran off with Lucky and Isabel left town. All that made David terribly gun-shy.
Well, he certainly isn't a woman-hater at heart. Maybe he's tired of his lonely bachelor existence. I wouldn't be surprised if he found Christy just as charming as she seems to think he is.
Well, I hope so. I certainly would feel terribly guilty if Christy's gone and fallen for David and he doesn't care a hoot for her.
Oh, I think you'd take it all too seriously, dear. Even if you told her right away when he called her, things would probably have turned out just the same way.
I suppose then she wouldn't have gone out with him at all.
Well, then, maybe it's a good thing you didn't tell her. Just look at it that this way they had a chance to discover that they could be really good friends.
Oh, I certainly hope you're right. I know if I told her now, it certainly would spoil everything. So, no matter what happens, I guess the die's cast.
It's a few hours later. At Monticello High School, David Hunter is sitting in the crowded and very small office that he was allotted when Miss Christy Warren was given his old office. With one hand grasping his tumbled hair as he leans over the desk, David is too deeply engrossed in his work to notice that Christy has been standing in the doorway for a full minute watching him.
Mr. Hunter, I believe.
What? Oh, why, Christy, hello.
Are all your classes filled, Mr. Hunter? I just love to learn something about bugs and butterflies and the process of osmosis and a few interesting general facts about science.
Well, come on in and sit down. I'll see what can be done about it.
Oh, I won't interrupt your work, David.
Hey, now, don't you run away. Come in and sit down. You're a very cheering sight after a hectic day.
All right, just for a minute, then. Now, what's been so hectic about your day?
Oh, the usual business of getting acquainted with a new crop of students. Nothing very serious. But tell me what your first day was like. That's more to the point.
Well, it was wonderful and awful and exciting all in one.
Still fired with enthusiasm and noble ambitions?
Oh, I'm certain my ambitions aren't particularly noble. But such as they are, they're even more fervent after one day of teaching than they were before.
And as long as you teach, you'll go on being more and more enthusiastic. That's the kind of person you are.
Sounds a little deadly the way you say it.
Oh, now, look here, you know what I meant.
Yes, and it was very nice of you. You know, I'm so excited about my classes. I have the nicest kids. They all seem so friendly and so anxious to do well.
Well, now, that's very nice, but I warn you, Christy, wait till the end of the semester. You'll see a lot of them will be glad to skim through as easily as they can. See, I'll tell you what. I'll make a date with you to discuss the appetite of the average high school student for enlightenment, say, The last day of school in June, in this office.
Okay. Except I think we ought to make it my office. This is the most miserable little place. They surely don't expect you to stay here any length of time.
Why, Miss Warren, I never expected to hear such sympathetic words from your lips.
Oh, dear. Now we're on the subject of the office again.
At this time last week, I was getting some short and snappy notes from Miss C. Warren asking me to hurry up and get the heck out of my old office and down here into my new quarters as fast as I could. You remember that?
I never heard of it before in my life.
Now, look here. Speaking about that date for sometime in June, how about a sort of reminder date, say, for Wednesday of this week, maybe?
Wednesday? Well,
Wednesday, because there's a lecture you might like to hear over at Urbana at the university. A book critic from New York is going to speak. But that might be something you'd like to hear.
Oh, yes, I'd love to. Do you think you could find time on Wednesday for that?
I'm sure of it.
Well, it hardly seems fair. After all, that isn't your field, English.
You know, I've just been thinking during the last few days. I'm afraid my education in literature has been badly neglected the last few years. I'm going to try to polish up on it. Besides, you know, science is a large and inclusive field. I wouldn't be surprised if it couldn't be made to include some such thing as the reaction of Homo sapiens at a literature lecture.
Well, in that case, I won't feel so guilty about it. Thank you very much. I'd love to go.
If Christy knew the reason why David first asked her for a date, I wonder if she'd feel differently. And what if she does find out? Now, while these events are happening in Monticello, up in Alaska, Jack Owens is trying to reach a decision about his future. Out of the construction camp, where he's still working, he's talking to Rocky.
Rocky, I got a telegram from Marilyn while you were up in the woods this afternoon.
You did, son? What'd she have to say? No bad news, I hope.
No, it was just an answer to my letter. She said that whatever I decided would be perfectly all right with her. I don't know why, but I've got an idea she thinks I ought to take the job in the office at Nome.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be surprised if she felt that way about it. Can't say that I blame her.
It's darn hard to know what to do, though. Of course, it's either take that job or go back to the States. I haven't got any excuse for working out here any longer.
Nope, that's a fact, son. You haven't.
Rocky, if I went back down to the States, how about you retiring and going down there, too? Buy yourself a little farm and take life easy.
Oh, I don't know, son. I'm kind of used to this kind of life up here now.
Yeah, I know, but you might think it over. I don't suppose that even if I decided to go down to the States, I'd go much before spring. Seems kind of crazy to set out now.
Yep, I wouldn't do that if I was you. Now, if you decide to go down to the States by springtime, would you be taking the job over at the main office in the meantime?
Well, I don't see how I could very well, Rocky. I wouldn't be of any use to the boss for the first few weeks while I'm learning the ropes, and, well, then it'd be just about time for me to quit.
Well, you might talk it over with him.
I think I'll do that. Of course, there's another possibility, Rocky.
What's that?
Marilyn might decide that she'd come up here and live. In that case, I could take the job in the office right away and forget about going back to the States.
See, now, that's a fact. Do you think maybe that's likely to happen?
Well, I don't know. It all depends on Marilyn. I wouldn't ask her to come up here. The idea would have to come from her.
Suppose Marilyn decides to go to Alaska to be with Jack. What will happen to the home she's managed for her brother Carlton? Will Marilyn's decision have an unexpected effect on Carlton's future? And perhaps on David's? Party liners, if this is a blue Monday for you, listen a moment to what I have to say. There is a medicine with remarkable ingredients, originally formulated by a family doctor, that can help you to overcome your feeling of depression and dullness if it's due to sluggishness. For Serapepsin acts mildly and gently, and in that way actually encourages nature to get back to work for herself. It helps you to build regularity. And your own doctor will undoubtedly tell you that when you're regular, you run much less chance of having a blue Monday like today due to sluggishness. Dr. Caldwell's remarkable medicine can help you to smile again. Why don't you try it and see? Phone your druggist and ask him to send over the family-sized bottle of Dr. Caldwell's Serapepsin today. Tomorrow, a slip of the tongue causes some very sad trouble on the line. Now, don't forget, see you tomorrow.